Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my radio listeners. God bless you. I pray that this week was a blessed week for you and yours. And I pray that you're being blessed even as I speak to you today. And I hope that you have been blessed on the word of God, from the messages that God has been giving to you, that you may be blessed with much understanding. And you know, praise God, we talked about turning into a well-worth life of worship with God. And today we're going to continue that. And I pray for you and yours. Father, we give praise to you today for this day. We thank you, God, for life, health, and strength. And we thank you, Father, for blessing us and keeping us and just providing for us throughout the week. And we thank you, Father God, that you brought us once again and you allowed us to see a new day. You've given us use and activities of our limbs, and we're clothed in our right minds. And, Lord, we ask that you would bless us continuously. But most of all, Father, help us, Lord, to get a true relationship with you in worship. And we may be able, praise God, to call upon you in a time of need. And in that time of need, Father, that you would hear us when we pray. And, Father God, you would not delay from sending the answer. Father, we are grateful. Bless those, Father, who are not as fortunate as we are. But bless them, Father God, to let them know just a true relationship with you would open the door to new experiences, a long life of worship, and that we may know the importance of worship today. And now, Father, we're going to go into your word today. We're going to continue to talk about what worship is and how important it is to the people of God. But, Father, I know that worship is you, and I'm grateful for that. But, you know, last week we talked about, praise God, God has an address, and he does. He has an address. You have an address. I have an address. We all have an address. But our address is most important thing about our address is where we can be contacted or where we can be connected or how people can contact us. And we also talked about, praise God, being in that position of knowing where God lives at his address. We must be willing as individuals to become a prisoner for Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about a prisoner of something, praise God, that we have done wrong. We're talking about a prisoner, praise God, of knowing, praise God, that we are here only for the purpose of him and to worship him in beauty and the beauty of holiness and in true worship. Now, we spoke about last week, praise God, about how Paul, praise God, journeyed, praise God, into the life of worship. And today, as we begin to speak about the life of worship and journey into that worship arena, I would like to say to you that as he journeyed, he came near a town called Damascus. And suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, and the Lord said to him, I am Jesus, whom you persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. That is found in Acts 9, 3 through 5. And what God is saying to you today is better to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ than an enemy. Amen. Than an enemy. And today we are going to talk about what is true worship. How do we get into that way of worship of God in that way of worship? True worship in God's way. We need to get into that thing of doing something that's being true worship in God's way. And that's the most important part of the worship, is doing it the way God said, do it. And he said also, praise God, in the word of God in Psalms 96 and 9, he said, Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This is what he's given us. He's given us instruction that we don't have to worry about how we do it. You don't even need to go and buy a manual to know how to do it. He's given us the instruction. It's already been written for us. And he says this, he said, this is the ability. No, what we say, the ability is what we are endeavoring to producing in each one of us in this study is this come out to find out how can we produce the worship that the Lord is speaking about. First of all, we must want to develop in every one of us a deeper, you understand now, a deep appreciation for worship. So you have to appreciate it before you can get into it. And you know what I'm saying? You have to appreciate it. You got to desire it. You got to want it. You got to want to know more about it. And you have to appreciate the worship that you may be able to journey into true worship. Are you listening? And see, in this teaching, praise God, we want to set, define, and describe true worship. So we need to describe it, because sometimes people have mixed up what is worship. You see, some things we call worship is not worship. Okay? To ascribe the worthy to God. Worship means worship. See, the worship. Was it worth me doing this? Worth means what is it worth? What is the amount of it? Okay? Is it done? Is it being done in reverence? Am I doing it in the reverence to God? Am I doing it in the reverence of man? See, this arises from the heart, and it's an overflow that with the gratitude. When we do it with God, it's an overflow with gratitude. Amen. It is a reinforcement with godly living. Amen. It is involved with the entire person. You hear that? It arises from the heart of an overflow with gratitude. This is what true worship becomes. And when it becomes worship, then it becomes worship. Worship. W-O-R-T-H. Ship. Worship. And this is what he's saying to us today. When it becomes worship, then we can learn how to reinforce it with the godly living. Okay, we can do it with godly living. And then we can involve our true self, our entire self. See, true worship, it is seen as a fragrant. Ha, yeah, yeah. It is seen as a fragrant, okay? A fragrant that is prepared for worship of the, like in the Old Testament times. And when it also, we talk about in Exodus 30 and 34 and 8, it is reserved for God alone. Alone, not us, not me, not you. It is reserved for God. That's what the worship, true worship, is all about. Not putting yourself in it, but putting God, say, the Spirit of God is in it. Yes, true worship is to be unique. It is not to be looked up and found out and discovered. It is to be unique. It is the uniqueness of the Holy Spirit that leads you into true worship. Our soul is the highest occupation. It is to worship God. Our worship involves giving, not getting. Oh, let's say that again. It is involved in giving. Giving what? Your true intimate self, your true self, your true Spirit of God. You give it, and it's not getting. Oh, we've had that thing mixed up for years because we always thought worship was what God give us. No, my friend, it's what you give to God. You see? I remember, praise God, someone wrote one time, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination, okay? This is what it says. It said it again. It says that to worship is to be quickened. It quickens the conscience by the holiness of God, not the holiness of man, not what you think, not what you think you should be. It's by the holiness of God. To purge, it has to clean out some things. Yes, we have to be purged. We have to be washed with the hyssop of the Word of God. It has to be washed, it said, with the hyssop and the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God and to devote the will to the purpose of God. Oh, I hope you got that, because that is so powerful. That is, praise God, that is so powerful. It means to open the heart, the spiritual heart of the man, to the love of God, and to devote the will. We said, Father, not my will, but thine will be done. So his will is to be the purpose of God. You see, it's lining up. And truly, every one of us need to grow. We need to grow. You, me, everybody. It doesn't matter how anointed the pastor is, or the preacher, the pope, the evangelist, the prophet is. The pope, it does not matter. Because what he is saying, every one of us need to grow in quality and meaningful and true worship. This is where the Word of God says that we have all fallen short to the glory of God. No, not one righteous. No, not one. We're not there. We're not there in that place, praise God, where we know that our worship is pure. And it's, praise God, and it's just nothing but pure worship without, praise God, being defined as something I have performed, because it must come continuously. out from my spirit man, that I may worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. In spirit and in truth. This is where we're going. We're talking about, we're trying to get what he is. He's living at an address, and the only way we can get that, praise God, is through the true word of God and pure worship in the Holy Spirit. Now, the importance of worship, see, Jesus talked about it. Jesus on worship, he stated was, the importance of worship, you may find that in John. Mm-hmm. Write these scriptures down. I hope that you're listening, but you're writing it down. I want you to go back and look at these for yourself. Look at John, John 4, 20 and 24. See, it is significant that Jesus proclaimed this. He proclaimed this. He proclaimed that great teaching on what? On the worship to an individual and not to the masses. Oh, my God, did you say? What did you say? Yes, he said that. He says, if not to an individual, see, to great teaching on worship is to an individual, you. And not to the masses. Showing the importance of individual responsibility. You have a responsibility to worship God in true and true in the beauty of holiness. It is your responsibility. He commands you to do so. Yes, true worship is important because the Almighty, he is looking. He's looking for that. And he's seeking true worshipers. He told you in his word, I am seeking true worshipers. I'm not seeking in the masses. I'm seeking for individuals that will worship me in true in the beauty of holiness. I need individuals, he says. The Almighty is seeking as the true worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And the way you find that out, you will find in 1 Peter 2 and 5. Christians make up the spiritual house. Yes, they do. We do that. And as much as, you know, and as much as we are a holy priesthood, we have the right to worship God. But as a priest. Now, remember now, we are as a holy priest, a priesthood. You're a chosen generation, okay? That's why he makes you the priest. But we offer up spiritual sacrifices. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. Back in the days of old, the priest had to bring up sacrifices before the Lord that he might accept these for the people that had sinned it, that God trusted what he brought to him was what they had done, and he accepted that. So what he's saying to us now as a priesthood, we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Okay, now these are the things that would be acceptable to God and not to suit us. We get it confused. We worship God and we feel more about it than he does. Because we all in it, we want to feel like, oh, I just felt the power of God. That's not what it is, my friend. We're supposed to be giving up spiritual sacrifices. And these are to be acceptable to God and not suitable for ourselves. Let the church say amen. Yes. Worship is a very core. It is a very core of a Christian's life. And this is why Jesus said, I seek true worshipers. He seeks true worshipers. You see? And true worship, what that means is that there is no false worship. True worship means there is no false worship. Don't do it because I do it. Don't do it because you see somebody else is doing it. You do it because it's who you are. The one song said, because of who you are, because of who you are, I will praise your name. You see, because of who he is, not because of who you are. Because when we do that, the Bible also speaks of vain worship. He speaks about that in Matthew 15 and 8 through 9. This is a worship that is vain, of no value. It is of no value. Why? Not done as prescribed by God. That's why it's no value. It is not prescribed by how God wants you to do the worship. We are to seek him in everything we do, that he may be pleased and he can accept our worship. Yes, that it may go up before him as a sweet smell before his nostrils. Another thing, praise God, we're not to go, not be, to be ignorant about worship. Ignorant, yes. In Acts 17, 22 and 23, worship, okay? Well, we are uninformed. We're uninformed. Okay? We're uninformed about worship. Worship is to be involved teaching. I'm teaching you today about worship again, as God has prescribed, okay? As God has prescribed, not me, but what God has done. This has nothing to do with Pastor Starling about what she's talking about. This has to do all with God. It is all about him. You already know. This is all about God. The real worship. The real worship we talked about in Colossians 2 and 23. Worship that is self-styled and presumptuous. That's real worship. In reality, there are only two kinds. There are two kinds of worship. Okay? Acceptable and true. Or unacceptable and false. Just remember that. When you're doing worship, make sure that your worship is not self-styled and presumptuous, but allow it to be the kind of worship that God has prescribed. And the kind that he has prescribed is acceptable and true. And the one that you do that has nothing to do with God, because you do it to be seen of man, it is called unacceptable and it's false. And it is a false worship. My God. Ha. Now, there are forms of worship, forms of unacceptable worship. We know about that because we know about the false God, the worship of the false God, how he has taught so strongly about. We know what he has said about that, that he does not accept that. The forms of unacceptable worship is the worship of false gods. Oh, sadly, all that begins with Cain after refusing to worship properly, and then he killing his brother in Genesis 4 and 16. Cain left God. He left God. There is no wonder that there is a long line of adulterous activities in the way of Cain, because he left God. When we leave out the main source of the ingredients to make it anything happen that becomes true and pure, then we can accept to get anything that comes in that is false. Amen. In Romans 1, 20 and 23, I pray that you're being blessed. But when men reject God, they will worship. That is mean it's false. They worship false gods, and they have created. When men reject God, they will worship the false gods that they have created. We have to be very careful. Man worship something. Now you know that. Mom and Dad, I've always heard elderly people say in my days of being brought up around my grandmothers and my mothers and my relatives, they would always say, if you don't fall for Jesus, you will fall for anything. Now, when man falls, God generally falls into two categories. Man going to worship something. They're going to worship something. They're designed to do that. They're going to worship something. When they do that, they're going to worship things. They fall into two categories. It is an earthly material God. Earthly material God. Now, you have to figure out which God are you worshiping of. Is it your car, your money, your home, your man, your children, your job, your clothes, your education, the way you look, the way you shape, whatever. Whatever you worship, that becomes your God, and it becomes the earthly material God. Well, that's what God is saying. Don't get man worship with God's worship confused. And that I want you to understand. Amen. Okay? Now, also it says in Job 31, 24, and 28, many worship their possessions. That's what the Holy Ghost just spoke that it is placing them above God in value. Yes, we worship our money. We worship all of that. Images, yes. We worship how we look, how we dress, what we got this, how we got that. Deuteronomy tells us that, and write these scriptures down. Just Deuteronomy 4, 14, and 19. God can never be reduced to an image. No, he cannot. Don't let them people fool you when they give you a picture telling how you look like this, and this is him, and this is that. He can never be reduced to an image. God repeatedly warned Israel against this in Isaiah 2, 6, and 9. Every religion that does not properly acknowledge, listen to me carefully, every religion that does not properly acknowledge God in true worship is adulterous. The worship of the true God is in the wrong form. Not only is the right objective established, you see, in Scripture, but the right form and manner as well. God did not say worship me and then give me no instruction as how I should do it. As he gave an illustration, praise the Lord. And he gave an illustration in Exodus 32. While Moses was gone, the people under Aaron's law, you know it, you heard it. I'm sure you heard it from a childhood. Aaron's leadership fashioned a golden calf as a representation of what? Jehovah God. Ha, thank you, Jesus. And then he said, the worship of the true God in step-style manner. You know what happens when he did that. The step-style manner. In Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, he tells that they administered the incense in a self-styled. They did incense manners. That is, they did it in their way and not God's way. And that was, they got in trouble. They were destroyed because of that. In doing this, they did not even sanctify God before the people. God displeased it. He was displeased with it. It is seen in the sending of the fire down from heaven to devour them. He devoured them because they did it their way, not his way. It is a dangerous thing when God is telling us how to do it and we want to do it our way. Let us read the instruction very carefully. When we worship God, let us do it in spirit and in truth. God displeasure is seen in when he sent down the fire, he destroyed them. Yes. And when he was dealing with Saul and Samuel, in 1 Samuel 13, 8, and 14, Saul had performed a function that only a priest was to perform. Saul had no authority to do this. As an obedient heart now, okay? As an obedient heart, see, sometimes we get God give us a little anointing, we take it too far. As an obedient heart, it is that the heart of a true worshiper. When Uzziah, in 2 Peter 1, 6 and 1, 9, when it said Uzziah was a Cusarite, his responsibility for transforming the Ark of the Covenant. He knew it was not to be. He knew it. See, sometimes we want to be seen. You know, it ain't good. Sometimes they're like, oh, I'm this, I'm that. No, don't call me this. I'm an evangelist. I'm the preacher. Oh, honey, I'm a teacher. No, babe, I'm a prophet. You are nothing in the sight of God. Without God, guess what, my friend? You are nothing. And he knew it was not to be touched and how it was to be transported. But guess what he did? He took it upon himself, the liberal of doing it his own way. What a big mistake. What a big mistake. And needed to say, God was so displeased with us. He was very displeased. And you ought to know that he had to pay for that mistake because it was something he did it in self-style worship and not what God told him to do. And needed to say God was displeased with him. Even the Pharisees in Matthew 15, 1 and 9, they built their own self-style of worship. Yes, they did. Yes. They're setting the deep in their heart on their own tradition. That's what I said. I'm telling you, my friend, all these different religions and all these different, I tell you, praise God, rules and stuff they have in these churches, you better be careful, my friend, what you are amen into and what you are getting involved in. You need to know, is it God worship? Is it God led? Is it God established? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ha. Yes, Jesus. Is it God or is it man? You choose to realize that tradition is only bad if it violates. Yes, Jesus. If it violates, see, that's what makes it bad. If it violates scripture or is treated as authoritative, as scripture. Let me say that again. You see, tradition is only bad when it realizes that tradition is only bad if it violates scripture or is treated as authoritative as scripture. Know your word. Know what the books say. Know what content your book is coming from. Because somebody said you amen it, you saying you agree with it. Be very careful. The worship of the true God with the wrong attitude. Okay? All right? We may eliminate false gods and self-style forms, see? We can do that, form of worship. But if we do not have the proper attitude, my God, he always said to me, your attitude determines your aptitude. If we do not have the proper attitude in worship, we are not involved in true worship. The attitude got to be right. Yes. What is your motive? My God. Thank you, Jesus. In Hosea 6, 7, and 4. 6, 7, and 4. And Mark 7, and 6. if you're doing the right thing to the right God, but your attitude are not right, then your worship is still not acceptable. I'll say that again. If you are doing the right thing to the right God, but your attitude are not right, then your worship is still not acceptable. God don't want to have anything to do with your worship because it's not right. He would not even accept it because it's not right. This is where he's trying to say, a true worshiper I seek. And I seek true worshipers because those are the ones that is connected to my spirit. Those are the ones, praise God, that I see. Praise God, it's the one, praise God, that I can praise God, use in the service, in my service. You see, God is very particular about who he used and how he uses the one he used. He can use whom he will or may. But God wants you to be responsible, too, for the thing that you would do, praise God, in worship and in time of worship. Mm-hmm. He said, it is better to appreciate the truth that we must clear away the false. We must know that. It's better to appreciate the truth. And the Bible said there will come a time that man would desire a lie rather than the truth. He would accept a lie better than he would do the truth. He don't want to hear the truth. He don't want to hear the truth. You come down to what the Bible says, you turn it in season out of season. When they want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it, you continue to tell it. Don't be afraid. But you tell it because you know it and you tell it. Don't you be afraid not to speak what I have given to you to speak. You tell them the truth, whether they receive it or not. Don't worry about who has said what you say. You just tell them what God, what did the book say? What did the Lord say? What did Jesus say about it? That's all you need to know. What did the Lord say? That's what's important. What did he say? Okay? Jesus taught concerning true worship, and he true worshipers. But such implied false worship and false worshipers, it was better to appreciate the truth that we must clear away the false. Think about this question. Am I growing each day in the grace of gratitude? Am I seeking to honor God in all that I do? Do I greatly appreciate and look forward to each day? Huh? Do I greatly appreciate that he has given unto me? Am I grateful about that? Do I appreciate it? What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? How can I stop doing the things that I'm doing that God will be pleased with my worship? Those are questions that you need to be taught. Do I look forward and participate? Do I greatly appreciate and look forward to each time of worship? Or do I just regret it? I don't want to do all this. Don't take all of that. What is it? Which one is it? What is it about the worship that you know that God is falling in love with your worship? What can you do better to enhance your worship? Now, praise God, God has given us principles for success. And he has given us principles for success in a relationship with him as true worshipers of him. He has given that to us. He has supplied us with that. He has given us, praise God, that we may know, praise God, that there are principles that we can use in order to have a life of worship that he can appreciate and receive into his glory. We don't want to be left, praise God, without God accepting our worship. And today, praise God, I offer you, praise God, a solution that if you are worshiping up as a fun and false worship, abort the false worship and step into the true worship of God. God is saying to us today, the Bible tells us that we have a successful relationship with God and with the people. But God created Adam and Eve to have a relationship with him. And this is the same thing that he did to each and every one of us, that we may have an open door relationship with him as true worshipers, that we may believe in Christ Jesus and worship him in the beauty of holiness. Not, praise God, to be seen of man, but to be accepted by God. Oh, my God, I thank you, Father. Thank you for those words today. And God, help us, praise God, as you did with Paul, to have a revelation from God about the revelation and the worship of you in the beauty of holiness, that we may be all members of the body, that we may be all connected to the spiritual realm and the spiritual connection with you, Father. Help us, Lord, that we may be true worshipers in this day and that we may walk in the beauty of holiness, doing it, praise God, as continuously, not as forcefully. And, Father, I thank you. For those of you that heard the word today, I pray that you be blessed. And praise God, this time tomorrow, 11:30, praise God, on Block Talk Radio, I will be back, praise God, with the next praise God, series of, praise God, Journey to God with Intimacy with God and the 10 Principles for Successful Relationship in the Holy Ghost. And I pray, praise God, that you be blessed. Continue, praise God, to stay in God. Look to God for your direction, that you not go wrong. God is. Always will, always has been. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. To this time tomorrow, 11:30, you be blessed and know that God is calling for true worshipers to worship him in the beauty of holiness. You be blessed. Have a blessed day.